Leonard, the scientists at CERN looking for the God particle, the Higgs boson particle. What is that particle, anyway?
Well, the current there are four forces of nature. That the electromagnetic force and two nuclear forces and gravity, and the theories of the three of those four, the ones that except for gravity, have a property that that none of the particles in those in those theories can have any mass. And the way that they get mass, because obviously we see that particles do have mass, is through this Higgs particle and through their interactions with what we call the Higgs field. And so that is the particle that fundamentally the LHC was built to look for. And there are reasons to believe that with that machine, with the energies that it has, that, that it should the Higgs particle should be observed. But I should also say, interestingly, that Stephen, I think he even made a bet on this, doesn't think it's going to be found. And, of course, he always likes to stir the pot a little bit.
Sure, yeah.
And I, you know, for a physicist, it's interesting because it's always more exciting when something unexpected is found than when a theory is confirmed. Of course, you know, when a theory is confirmed, that's very good, and that's what physics is about. We, if the theories weren't confirmed, we wouldn't get very far. But you know, it's very exciting when something something unexpected happens. And unfortunately, in this case, the unexpected event is the non-finding of something. So the people who are, if you're a physicist, that would be extremely exciting if the Higgs was not found. And if you're not a physicist, but if you're paying for the LHC, you might think, what were we paying for? Because we built this, you know, multi-billion dollar machine, and it didn't find anything. And why are the physicists so excited to not find something? But, you know, that would be much more revolutionary if it wasn't found than if it was found. Everyone expects it will be found.
Well, that's a good point. Let's get into, if you can, take us through the Big Bang. What was it? How did it, I mean, were we talking about an explosion? Is that what they mean by the Big Bang? Because I've heard different theories, Leonard, that, you know, it's not really what we would think of as a conventional explosion. What happened?
Well, the first thing you have to realize is that today we know that the original Big Bang theory has to be modified. It isn't quite what, I don't know, people might have read about some years ago. Because now we realize that we have to take quantum theory into account. We can't just use Einstein's theory of general relativity to talk about the Big Bang. And what happens is when you go backwards, and you know, I said earlier the universe is expanding, and so if you trace the universe backwards in time, it's smaller and smaller the further back you go. And if you go, you have to realize then that an important element in the discussion is Einstein's theory of relativity and what it says about space and time. And, you know, in the Newtonian theory, in the pre-Einsteinian way of looking at things, space and time were a fixed framework, like a stage that all of matter acted on. So we and all the material objects in the universe were like actors on a stage, and the stage was fixed, and we didn't affect the stage, and the stage didn't affect us. But Einstein showed that that's not true, and that the space and time can get warped by the matter and energy in the universe, and the matter and energy are affected by space and time, and it's all one coupled dynamic system that interacts with each other. And as you go back in time and you include these fluctuations of nothingness that I'm talking about, and you go back farther and farther in time, what happens is that time starts to change its character, and so it's not correct to talk about time in the way that we intuitively understand time from our everyday experience. And time becomes like another direction of space. And so it really doesn't have a beginning in the usual sense. And I know that's another mind-blowing thing, but let me give you an analogy.
Okay.
Before we knew that the Earth was curved, people thought it was, you know, flat because it looks flat. If you're not staring out at the ocean and a ship coming over, you can kind of tell that it's coming around something. But generally, the Earth looks flat, and people wondered what was, you know, what, at the edge of the Earth, the beginning or the ends of the Earth. What happened if you got there, and what was beyond it? Would you fall off? Was there something beyond it? How could there be something beyond the end of the Earth? And then they realized that the Earth was round, and this problem went away. And it's similar with time. Asking what happened at the beginning of time is kind of like, or before the beginning of time, is like asking what's north of the North Pole. So it doesn't make sense to take the picture to go back and say what happened at the beginning. How was it all set up? It's not like, you know, a track that you can trace it back to the station and go, ah, there's where it started and how did it get here and who built it. That question doesn't actually make sense. You can go back pretty far, but you can't go all the way back. And then the question itself doesn't make any sense any longer. And the Big Bang that really happened that we talk about today is something called inflation, which ended about when the universe was about 10 to the minus 32 seconds. What is that, about a billionth of a trillionth or something?
Yeah,
of a second,
that's quick.
Right? Very quick. And it was in that short period from I think it started about, depending on the theory, 10 to the minus 36 or 34 seconds to about 10 to the minus 32 seconds, the universe expanded so drastically. It was as if a dime, if you imagine a dime, would become a million times the width of the Milky Way in 10 to the minus 32 seconds. That's how big the bang was. And that's inflation, and that's not at the very beginning of the universe. That's a little bit later. So we say at the beginning of the universe, time didn't exist as we know it, and time and space and the laws of nature and everything in it were created from nothing. And shortly, if you go back in time to this time, inflation popped the universe open and made it, you know, and blew it up. And so that's kind of the picture we have today of the Big Bang.
And it's still going. It's still forming, isn't it?
Well, the universe, the space is still expanding.
Yeah.
And in fact, we find that it's expanding surprisingly. People thought that what would happen until just a few years ago, people thought that the expansion of space must be slowing down because, matter, as I said earlier, is attractive. And so you can imagine that if you have this thing expanding and all the matter is attracting each other, all the part of pieces of matter, that it's going to pull back together and eventually either stop expanding or start contracting again, you know, or start contracting.
Come back, blow up again,
back
keep
on itself,
going.
Or that the at least the expansion will be slowed down by all this attraction of all the matter in the universe. And it turns out that's not true. In fact, the opposite is true. It's expanding at an ever greater rate, which was a shocking thing to discover. And that's what dark energy is all about.